Hey folks, welcome back to the Emerald Archer Podcast. My name is Ed. I'm one of the two hosts for the show.
And I'm Nick. I will probably be the, what did you call Levi, the funny, one of us is more serious, the other is...
That would make me the straight man.
What would I be? Are you calling me something else?
Unstraight?
Yeah. What is that?
I'm not sure what the term is for that, the entertainment
comedic relief
term. Okay,
that's
comedy
what you
relief.
Call it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, let's see. I think we had some feedback from last...
Yes, we actually did.
Not from last episode, but between then and now.
From Steve Rogers.
Hey, Steve Rogers listens to our podcast. That's pretty cool. Of course, there's a joke here. And Steve, since I know you listen to it, I'm not going to make this joke because I'm sure all of your comic book friends make the same joke. But I made the reference there, and that's kind of cool that you sent us some feedback, sent us an email. That's cool.
Okay. He said, "Hey, Ed and Nick, love what you guys are doing with the Green Arrow podcast. Some questions and thoughts, though. Did you guys give much thought into looking at Ollie and Roy's Golden Age stuff? Sure, it's not technically Earth 1, and Crisis on Infinite Earths pretty much wiped out both Ollie and Roy's pre-Silver Age stories from Continuity.
Continuity.
You should take it from here. I obviously do not know his vocabulary.
Well, no, it's okay. I mean, you haven't seen the word. But I'm sure it's good for some classic Golden Age goodness. Second point he had here. While I do enjoy some Silver Age stuff, I'm very much anticipating the changeover to where Ollie becomes Social Crusader Ollie. Though technically the Bronze Age, I especially enjoy him and House travels through America. Those are some good stories. Heavy-handed to be sure, and certainly of their time, but the Hard Traveling Heroes was a classic era and pretty much laid the groundwork for what Oliver Queen would be for the rest of his publication history through the decades. Third point, have either of you watched much Smallville with Justin Hartley as a young version of Ollie? If so, any thoughts on that interpretation of the Emerald Archer, especially with him not ending up with Black Canary at the end of the series run, but rather a character created for the show? Anyway, good luck with the pod, Steve Rogers." The first point here, not necessarily any reason why we started with Silver Age as opposed to Golden Age. Golden Age would have given us another 17 or 18 years to work with. Just picked it up in the Golden Age. At some point we might start talking, or picked it up in the Silver Age. At some point we might start talking about Silver Age stuff. I don't know, you know, unless somebody else puts a podcast out there, I'd say that's our territory to cover too if we wanted to. It's just hard to say. Can't say no. Can't say yes. I mean, you know, we're still trying to get our feet under us with everything we're wanting to do now, but that doesn't mean that in the future, you know, when we get a handle on stuff, we won't make other changes. The second point here about the Bronze Age, yeah, those were some excellent stories. I definitely agree with you. They occurred in the mid to later 70s, so we're about 20 years away from that.
I was going to point out Marvel Bronze Age.
Oh, well, but that's Marvel.
True, yes. Yeah, my apologies. But you have been interested in Bronze Age comics.
Oh, yeah. The Bronze Age is where most of my reading came from. So back 79, I think, is when I first started really reading comics. So
how old would you be? Like 10 or 11?
79 would have made me 11.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, fifth grade.
Good math.
Fifth, sixth grade, something like that. And then the third age, yeah, boy. The third point here that Steve, you brought up, Smallville, never watched it. To be honest, I have not seen but snippets of any episode. I've never even seen one complete episode from any season. So, unfortunately, perhaps, I don't have a dog in that fight, so I can't speak on anything
Vick.
Smallville.
I said Michael Vick.
Michael Vick, yeah. He might have had a dog in that fight. Yeah, he probably did, actually. So how about you, Nick? Smallville?
I have some experience with Smallville, but just when it was still getting going, Lex Luthor, I'm not even sure if they've gotten to the point yet where he's evil, but it was when him and Clark were friends, and there was possibly a girl named Chloe, and they were still in high school. They're probably postgraduates now of college, you know. But I have some, just a little bit.
So, there you go, Steve. I hope that answered some of your questions and maybe made you come up with some more to send and write us about next time. Okay, that's the only feedback we have for this episode. The three books we have on tap are World's Finest 95, Adventure Comics 250, and Adventure Comics 251. Be warned, we are a spoiler podcast. We're going to talk about the stories and what goes on and everything like that. The first book came out in 1958, so if you're still being spoiled 40-some years ago, I'm sorry. I'm not sure that we're going to be of much help to not spoil things for you.
That would be sad.
So World's Finest came out. This issue 95 was their July-August 1958 issue. The Green Arrow story is the last story in the book, and it is Green Arrow versus the Red Dart. It was scripted by Mr. Ed Heron, with pencils and inks by Mr. George Papp.
Just right now, I think it was the first Adventure Comics we're doing for this episode, mm-hmm. 250. Mm-hmm. The artwork looked a lot different to me in the beginning.
Yeah.
Was it a different artist?
Completely, okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, 50 and 51 were the same artist, but it was different from Pap that we had seen in all of our Green Arrows up until this will be the last issue of Pap for a little while.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if there were two different artists, one for World's Finest, one for Adventure Comics, mm-hmm. or if I just missed something, but apparently you're saying Mr. Pap had left. Or
I didn't look at World's Finest 96, which would be the next World's Finest. Mm-hmm. I do know that these two Adventure Comics are Jack Kirby pencil and ink, and he did several issues of Green Arrow, but I don't know if it was just Adventure or if he took all of Green Arrow that was coming out or what. We'll have to wait until next time when I read those books. I'll be able to tell you more about who that is. All right, the story opens up with Green Arrow and Speedy taking out some bad guys with their trick arrows. One looks like a regular arrow, one is a boxing glove arrow. Off to the side is an unforeseen hood that has Green Arrow and Speedy outlined in the window that they're standing in as they were firing, and he's about to fire on them with his pistol unimpeded because they're silhouetted really nicely.
Yes.
And before he can, a suited superhero-y looking kind of dude runs up and throws what looks like some kind of dart and knocks the gun out of his hand. And as the Green Arrow and Speedy notice, you know, the gun kind of go flying to the side as they're swooping into the room to apprehend and cuff the bad guys. And as they're doing so, this other costumed hero, shall we say, just kind of takes the opportunity and leaves, runs out a nearby door, indicating that he's the Red Dart, and he just wanted to help him catch the bad guy, Muggsy Miller, and you know, he's gone.
Interesting, though, how he's orange, but he's the Red Dart. I know his weapon of choice is a Red Dart, but I think Mr. Red Dart should have spent more time designing his costume.
Well, normally I would have said it might have something to do with, like, the printing process that they used back then, but Speedy is red.
Speedy is red. Thud is red, where the arrow sticks.
So this issue definitely had reds in it, mm-hmm. which means when it was colored. Yeah, he obviously wasn't colored with a red outfit.
No. He's a walking Gators fan.
Yes, he is.
Orange and blue.
So Speedy and Green Arrow are talking, and they notice that the Red Dart used a term that they don't come across very much to refer to these bad guys, saying that they were out on bush parole. And Speedy asks Green Arrow what that means, and Green Arrow tells him. But that's kind of indicative of some developments that will come up later on here in the story.
I find it interesting, though, that it's not Green Arrow asking Speedy, because Speedy seems to know all in the previous comics.
Well, but Green Arrow's older, and that's kind of a...
experience.
Plus, he's had more dealings with convicts and jailbirds and, you know, whatever you want to call them, so he more than likely would know these kind of phrases, whereas, of course, the young, impressionable Speedy wouldn't have been exposed to them yet. A couple nights later, Speedy and Green Arrow back out on patrol. They step in to foil a jewelry robbery. And in the process, as they're apprehending some of the bad guys, another one of the bad guys tries to throw a net on them and entrap them so that everybody, all the bad guys, can get away. But again, the red dart intercedes and uses a grenade dart to blow up the net as it's falling on Green Arrow and Speedy. Again, he's around long enough to throw out some more terms, cracked ice,
things.
And there's not a slum in it. And then he again says that, he's the Red Dart. He just wants to help. And, the dart is his gimmick, which is kind of like the arrows, but not quite.
The ghetto version.
So they talk to him a little bit, and then they, I guess they're okay with him. They head out on their way, and they continue talking. Again, noticing perhaps the terms that the guy uses. Like I said, cracked ice and the word slum. Again, Green Arrow has to explain what those mean. Later on that night, we see the Red Dart in his headquarters, and we find out that actually the Red Dart is Midas Mallory, a hood. And so basically what he's been doing is he's been trying to get on Speedy and Green Arrow's good side so that at some point when the time is right, he can do a heist. He can maybe one of these times when they capture the bad guys, he can take the loot rather than the loot being turned over to the police. So again, a couple nights later, Speedy and Green Arrow are out. They stop some dudes trying to rob a bank. And as they're waiting, again, the Red Dart stops. But this time, everything he's doing is like the culmination of his plan. He's going to pin the bad guys down using a smoke screen dart. And then in the midst of the smoke from the smoke screen, he's going to help these guys get away because these guys turn out to be part of his crew. But Green Arrow foils them in such a way that the smoke screen doesn't work to hide anybody. So
now how? Oh, yes.
With the flashlight arrow.
Yeah, he illuminates it.
Right. So now the Red Dart isn't going to be able to help the gang get away because he would be seen helping. So instead, what he does is he lets Green Arrow take these guys, and then he goes around to the back. And
is that another set of guys?
Yeah, because he says, while the Green Arrow causes you and the phony loot, chases you and the phony loot, I'll join the boys in the back.
Yes.
So these front guys were a setup, so now that Green Arrow and Speedy is focusing on them, the Red Dart runs around to the back where the rest of his crew is actually making off with the loot.
The real loot.
And as they're trying to get away, they're all foiled by Green Arrow and Speedy. Red Dart attempts to use a dart, does he call it a rain dart?
Yeah, a rain dart.
Speedy and Green Arrow use an umbrella arrow.
Convenient that they happen to be carrying that with them on that day.
Oh, yeah, they always have an arrow for everything.
I thought that the circumstances when you carry an umbrella, it doesn't rain, and when you forget an umbrella, it rains.
Well, apparently not for Green Arrow and Speedy. They always have the perfect arrow.
They defy, I don't want to say physics, but...
Well, I guess what it is they have, like, you know, they carry 20 or 30 arrows, and I guess every one is one. they carry one of like 20 or 30 different things. So now the they use a, I don't know, looks like maybe a bolo arrow or a rope arrow or something like that. They tie the bad guys up, tie the red dart up.
Arrow lines.
Arrow line, okay. And they unmask the red dart as being Mallory and have a little discussion as to why, how Green Arrow knew, which is always, you know, the bad guys are always willing to tell everybody their plans, mm-hmm. and the good guys are always willing to tell people the secrets, how they figured it out.
Yes.
So
we're all curious all the time about both of those.
He explains the words, slum, cracked ice, bush parole, you know, those are only going to be used by people who are in that world, convicts. Mm-hmm. And he also had some stains on his hand from where he tests gold to see how pure it is. So he's a gold thief.
Are those real tests?
That's what they were stealing.
Aqua regia?
Aqua regia is a real chemical. I don't know if it's used in that manner, but I do know it's a real chemical.
Okay.
And so there we have Green Arrow and Speedy saving the day for that one.
That also explains his nickname, Midas.
Yes, because he's got the golden touch.
Literally.
So any comments on that one?
The only thing I could think of is I don't think they should have just had a knockoff of an arrow, you know, a dart. I think they should have come up with a better villain. But he doesn't have superpowers, you know, like some other specialization in a different kind of weapon. It would almost be as bad as if there was a boomerang man, which there might honestly be out there somewhere. But I think they should have used something instead of a knockoff of an arrow as the villain.
Well, I definitely see what you're saying. Keep in mind, they're wanting to keep all his enemies street level, just regular people, mm-hmm. not super enhanced
well,
people.
Well, I know that's what I'm saying. Only specializations, they don't want superpowers, but I think they should have had him do something else.
But they've been having bad guys every month, sometimes twice a month, for 15 or more years. So
they start running out of ideas.
Maybe ideas are running a little soft sometimes, you know. That's why periodically you bring a new person on, you know, they have new ideas and everything like that. You know, and it's funny to say that now in 1958. Well, what in the world do they do with Green Arrow now in 2011?
Yeah, rocket launcher, man.
After, what, probably in the 40s, 60 years or more?
Tall guy. They start running out of ideas.
Well, I do know that eventually, because he's a superhero, he started going against supervillains. Mm-hmm. So whether they were brains or they were strong and they had to find new ways to write that he defeated them or, you know, whatever.
Something.
So. All righty. The next book we've got lined up is Adventure Comics 250. It's the July 1958 issue. We're talking the fourth story in that book. The Green Arrows of the World, which I think is awesome.
I was so excited when I saw the first page of this book and I saw all the different Green Arrows.
Yeah, I was too, because now this will be something that I can refer to.
Yeah.
You know, oh man, why isn't there a whatever arrow?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
so.
Yeah, we'll get into that because each one actually has come up with an arrow of their choice.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
As I mentioned briefly earlier, pencils and inks, well, pencils were by Jack Kirby. The inks were by Jack Kirby and Roz Kirby, who actually is his wife.
You, oh, Roz, okay.
She helped him, Roz, yeah. And the script, a little bit of discussion as to whether this was Ed Herron or perhaps another gentleman named Dave Wood. They've both been given credit for it in different places. Nobody's really sure exactly who it is. Kirby, you know, being new, Kirby, I know, like to script things. Kirby may well have scripted this or have helped, you know, so it's hard to say exactly without somebody just absolutely stepping forward and saying they did it. But mm-hmm. this is some Jack Kirby about, I guess, midway through his cartooning career.
But like I said, as soon as I saw the front, I knew that it was a different artist too, mm-hmm. but I saw Green Arrow, but he was in Cheetah Print. So I'm like, is that Jungle Green Arrow? And then a guy that was wearing the cliche French hat.
Yes.
What is that? A beret?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay. So on the splash page, they have a whole bunch of green arrows shooting an arrow, I'm guessing, at the location that they defend on the map. And Green Arrow and Speedy are just to the side watching. First you have, and then it skips to the story, you have the Green Arrows all getting off the plane. Everybody's talking about it. Well, that's the French Green Arrow, and this is the Green Arrows of the world. And they are coming to, what city is this? Any idea?
We'll say Central City.
Okay, so they're coming to Central City for a Green Arrows convention sponsored by Green Arrow. So they're showing all their different outfits and everything. They have the Japanese Green Arrow in his version of the Arrow car, which...
Right, so the first to come off the plane was the Japanese, was the
French
Green Arrow.
And then was the Jungle?
Or
he said he was from, I know it because he said it earlier.
In Africa, India, Malaya. So Africa, India, he's the like.
Jungle inspired.
Southeast African, South Asian Green Arrow.
He's wearing some cheetah or leopard. There's another Green Arrow in front of him. I want to say he's a Middle Eastern.
Yeah, probably.
Because the head wrap. And they're all getting off, and you see their different outfits. I told you about the Japanese one and his version of the Arrow car. To me, it looks like a more modern horse-drawn carriage, but without the horses. Because it doesn't look like it could support, you know, an engine or anything.
Probably it's a playoff of one of those carts that you always see in the movie that the person sits in and the guy up front picks it up
and pulls it.
Runs with it.
Yeah. And then they've got the Mexican Green Arrow, and he's just riding a horse. But he's wearing green, and he's got his sombrero and everything.
Yeah, he's dressed more like a gaucho, which is kind of a South American cowboy.
They also have I don't know if that's a Speedy or a Green Arrow next to him, but...
Switzerland's Green Arrow.
Switzerland's Green Arrow, okay. Then...
I don't know why, but they just say it is, so...
Oh, well...
Yeah, they didn't decorate him up in any kind of characteristic way or anything, so...
I'm thinking of Swiss Alps with the is it Lederhosen? Or is that Germany?
Well, they would be wearing Lederhosen in Switzerland,
and the thing on the... The Ricola
the
commercial.
Horn, the big Ricola horn.
Okay. Now, they introduced you to some of the Green Arrows. They take you to the meeting room, convention room. I'm not sure. They're all talking and updating each other. And yeah. French Green Arrow is speaking. He's saying that Green Arrow... The Green Arrow, our Green Arrow, is the best of all the Green Arrows.
Right. He's the one from which all the others come from.
Yes.
He is the original, and they are like the copies.
And they skip to... Not skip to. It's happening at the same time, just in a different place, of a Green Arrow getting mugged. It's the Ace Archer of Scotland Yard, and a man stole his costume. And I guess he has... a British accent, because he said he's going to be known as the Bowman from Britain while he's stealing the personality of the Ace Archer.
Yeah, that's so, who he'll be impersonating.
Yes. So, our Green Arrow is saying, shh, now everybody shh, be quiet. The Phantom of France, which I thought that was just kick butt. I like that. The Phantom of France wants to show us something. So, speaking with his French accent, I finally got that out of reading it.
Yeah. very bad.
How his skill and sense of justice can inspire another in the same endeavor. And Z, I thought that was pretty cool for them to write it like that. And he's pulling out an arrow that he's made himself, apparently. He pulls it back, and he shoots a target that they have set up in Green Arrow's...
Well, just in this convention meeting room.
Yeah. And he takes the arrow, and he shoots the target, and a certain perimeter around where the arrow hit is illuminated. Like something burst, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, probably like maybe some kind of liquid or powder.
Yeah, and it covers because everything it pops. And glows. Yeah. And everybody's impressed. Cool, amazing. But the bowman of the bush, the...
African, Indian, Malaya, Malaysian.
Yeah.
Who wears gloves.
Yes.
Well, no, I'm sorry. They all wear gloves. Okay. I just hadn't noticed. Green Arrow does.
Yeah, you're right.
Right there, the gauntlets. So.
I guess it looks weird. A little bit more standing out to him because he doesn't... He's got the little toque thing or whatever that is where it's not covering like the right side of him.
Yeah, he's got like a... Almost and like a Tarzan loincloth thing going.
So it looks more out there. So he's like... he talks like Tarzan too. Am I the only one that picked up on that?
No. I'm sure that's how they what they meant, yeah.
But in the jungle where policemen are scarce, the bowman of the bush, talking in third person.
Must make the capture himself witness.
And he pulls out an arrow that Green Arrow points out that it looks like a plant stalk. So he shoots it at the target that had been illuminated, and I don't know if it pops or it just, if it's just a reaction.
It hits the back of the arrow. It hits the end. He hits it right on the end.
And vines start to grow from it. And he says that that's how he uses to capture the criminals, or what do you say, hoods.
Yeah.
And the vines just grow and wrap around them and everything.
I don't know if Africa in the 1950s had hoods or not.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So the Mexican Green Arrow sees the... What was it? The Bowman of Britain, right? Mm-hmm. And he sees that he's walked in and he says, "Oh, come in. The fiesta has already begun." And he's thinking to himself, "Man, just let me in because I'm going to finish the real Green Arrow here soon." So they're all chatting about Green Arrow stuff and news, and they're all happy to see each other. And the Bowman of Britain says, "I've got an arrow I would like to test myself. It's called the Big Ben." And he wants Green Arrow to launch it. Well, it kind of looks like a clock on the end of an arrow, but there's a needle so it can still stick in something at the end of the clock, so you can still stick into something. Green Arrow takes it, and it's ticking and talking, your regular clock noises. And he pulls it back, and he's getting ready to shoot it, and... The bowman of the bush. Yes, no. The bowman of Britain is, he's saying that he can't stay and he's got to leave. And I think it's him that hands him the flyer.
Yeah, this is why he has to leave. Because
that's not his hand, though.
Well, it is now.
And
yeah,
the Green Arrow was handed a flyer that says...
His thing was green, and this is red.
That's what...
Yeah, you'll run into that a lot.
That, it almost looks like Green Arrow is holding it way
off. Comes way off panel and holds it back, like Mr. Fantastic Green Arrow
Stretching out.
Yeah.
And he reads it. It says $10,000 for the capture of Limehouse Larkin. So Green Arrow's like, "Ah, I see now." And he's finally about to test the arrow, and he pulls it back, and the bowman of Britain is running away, which to me kind of signaled that something was going on, a little strange. And he's about to launch the arrow when he drops it and switches, I'm assuming, and he takes a regular arrow, and he shoots the mask off the bowman of Britain.
Shoots the mask off the dude. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
So they all realize that he was Limehouse, is that right?
That's who was on the poster, but this dude is Counterfeit Carson, the forger who swore he'd get even with you for sending him to jail.
Ah, yes. Okay. So he jumps out the window into the Ace Archer of Scotland's aero car.
Right. The British aero car.
Yes. And I'm guessing a tribal Green Arrow, because that's what I got out of it.
Okay.
A tribal kind of Native American, but...
Well, no, it wouldn't be Native American. It would be... Because his thing is a lava arrow from island volcanoes. So
I mean Native American Indian, just...
Well, yeah, it'd be like a native of, like...
Like Mayan.
The Easter Islands or the Hawaiian Islands.
A tropical
something like that.
Tribal
with
arrow.
With volcanoes.
Yes. Yeah. So he says, this stop him, lava arrow from island, volcano. So
he's related to the African one.
This is true.
Yeah.
And he pulls it back and he sticks it in one of the tires of the arrow car. And I see now that it burned off the back. Did you see that? The bumper? I saw that just now. But
let me just say something, too, that I just now noticed, think to make a comment on. Both this island native Green Arrow and the Green Arrow from Africa, India, and Malaysia are both extremely light-skinned natives.
Yes.
They both are very
light-skinned. I did not think to look at that.
So,
wow.
Just an interesting note. Not that that's not possible, mind you.
It is.
It's not
but
what
it,
I'm saying.
I wouldn't think that that would mean they're native to wherever they came from.
A lot of the native African, Indian, Malaysian, tropical island people that I see, at the very least, are darker toned.
Tan.
Yes. Browns, if not, you know, black, like a lot of native Africans are. Mm-hmm. So, but these are two natives that are very light-skinned. Mm-hmm.
So, when the arrow sticks in the arrow car's tire, an unproportional, law-defying amount of lava pours out of the little capsule that was on the end of the arrow. He hops out of the car and runs away, and it looks like some kind of leg cuffs, maybe, was shot out by... No, I'm sorry, the jiu-jitsu arrow.
Yes.
From, I'm not sure who, they don't say. It's probably that... The unnamed Green Arrow from the beginning.
The next panel, the Japanese arrow grips the fugitive.
Yes, you're right.
In
so
a judo leg hold.
It was the Japanese Green Arrow.
Right.
He shoots him with a jiu-jitsu arrow, and it wraps around his ankles. And basically, it doesn't prevent him from using his fist, so he punches the Green Arrow in the face. And then he runs away into a crowd of people, I don't know, on the streets, in a mall, just somewhere.
Yeah, I guess just out on the street. A lot of people out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people.
Really, a lot of people.
So,
okay, so he runs into the crowd, and he incorrectly guesses, well, if I'm in this crowd of people, Green Arrow won't shoot an arrow because he won't want to hit any civilians. Green Arrow takes a helispotter arrow and shoots it in a chandelier, maybe?
No, he just shoots it up in
that,
the air.
Oh, that yellow thing, is it spinning?
Right.
So he shoots it up in the air, and it's spinning with a mirror that conveniently shows, what's his name? I totally forgot.
The former British Green Arrow.
Yeah, okay, the former British Green Arrow. And the mirror is rotating in the air, so Green Arrow can shoot him and not have to worry about hitting the civilian. So he shoots the mirror arrow in the air, and he takes the ricochet arrow that becomes a spotter arrow. No, I'm sorry. The ricochet arrow becomes a falcon's hood.
Right.
When it bounces off the mirror so he can know who to hit. So it bounces off the mirror, turns into a spotter hood, sticks on top of his head, covers his face, letting Green Arrow and Speedy apprehend him. And at the end, Green Arrow says, which the Ace Archer, he said, I'm beastly sorry. I found that amusing.
Mm-hmm.
Green Arrow says, I could tell that he wasn't you or he was an imposter because he said $10,000. But a real English poster would have been in pounds.
Hey,
so
whatever it takes.
He's very observant. Do we have time for one more?
Yeah. You know what I think we're going to start doing? Hmm. I think we're going to start keeping a list of all the arrows, and at the end of each episode, list what arrows were that we talked about in that episode.
We should. That would just to see all of the different ones.
Yeah. Counterfeit Carson.
That's it.
That was his name. So now you said that you noticed a difference between Kirby's art and Pap's art. Is it just a difference? Is it a difference you like, you didn't like?
It's not a good or bad difference. It's just I noticed it obviously was not drawn by the same person.
Okay. I thought that maybe in some ways it wasn't quite as detailed.
Because he did have a lot of the...
As the Pap art had been.
When he didn't have detail, he would just color it all yellow.
Well, I noticed in a lot of scenes that people didn't have noses.
Did they really not?
Yeah. In a lot of... Particularly multiple people scenes. You know, when it was
backed
away enough that there were three or four people.
Mm-hmm.
They would have eyes, ears, mouths, but they wouldn't have a nose. And I don't know if that was a common thing at the time to... If you had to drop detail, drop the noses,
mm-hmm.
or if it's something that Kirby does, or...
Who knows?
But I'm a chin.
I didn't even mean to do that.
I could tell. I don't think I remembered or noticed George Papp doing that, though, in the crowd scenes.
Mm-mm.
I think he took the extra half a second to
do a little
draw
nose.
Yeah, so... All right, so our third and final title for this episode is Adventure Comics 251, the August 1958 issue. We're looking at the third story entitled The Case of the Super Arrows. Now, this one is scripted, penciled, and inked by Jack Kirby with some help on inks by Roz Kirby. That's Jack Kirby's wife, for those of you that may not know. So... We see a splash page here of some people from the future, and they are sending Green Arrow a gift through time to celebrate him being the Green Arrow, because they're in the midst of their timely celebration. I don't know if they do it every year or how
they say it later. They're a week of I'll let you know. I'll keep reading when you're doing it.
So.
And I'd like to point out the size of their foreheads.
They have no hair, and it's, yeah, they're, well, bigger skull is supposed to mean bigger brain,
mm-hmm.
smarter,
yes.
smarter in the future, yeah, you know, so.
And it's 3,000 years, by the way.
3,000 years in the future, okay. And that's a common thing. In the future, we'll be smarter than we are now. We won't make
mm-hmm.
the same mistakes.
Intellectually
no
superior.
War, all medicine
mm-hmm.
will be, you know, so.
Cures.
Okay, so we're at the police headquarters, and the police commissioner is talking to Oliver Queen and Roy Harper because he has a collection of gifts for Green Arrow and Speedy.
Gotta love being a superhero.
So, swag. So somewhere along
Straight
the
up.
Way, it's known that Queen and Harper have some kind of relationship with the Green Arrow and Speedy.
Mm-hmm.
And they can pass information. So they're being asked to give them these gifts. So they get back to the Arrow Cave, and they're looking through all of their gifts and everything, when all of a sudden, like a paper tube, a map tube, something like that, kind of pops out of the air, and Green Arrow catches it. And also there's a disembodied voice that is telling him, you know, happy anniversary, here's a present from 3,000 years in the future, yada, yada, yada. So they open it up, and there's a bunch of really funky-looking arrows. So Green Arrow takes one to the window and just fires it outside to see what it'll do.
Wait, he does not do that. There are instructions
on the side of the arrow.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's why he decides to launch it.
Yeah, because it... Yeah, there are directions engraved on each arrow. But he says, this one gives me an idea. So it didn't tell him to do this.
Mm-mm.
It told him to do something or maybe when to use it. But it turns out that the people are in the middle of a heat wave. Oh, do tell.
No doubt.
So
Green Arrow, we need you.
Yeah, really. With one of these arrows, he fires it. And what it does is it goes up into the sky, you know, in the direction he fires it. and it seeds the clouds and causes it to rain. So it's like the Rainmaker arrow.
Which
he doesn't. Does he name it?
Yeah, I think it. No, I mean, I just think he called it the Rain Arrow. It doesn't really say anywhere.
Yeah, I don't think he named this one. That
no.
Cloud seeding arrow, mm-hmm. basically just what it does. So
I just liked one of the gifts they got up here.
Mm-hmm.
Sherlock Holmes pipe and hat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that would make a good episode of, like, Warehouse 13. You don't watch that, do you?
Could be Doctor Who.
Oh. He doesn't have a Sherlock hat and pipe.
Does someone in Warehouse... No, that's not what I was referring to.
Oh.
How did Green Arrow and Speedy help anything with Sherlock Holmes?
Somebody just sent it to him as a detective because they're detectives.
Ah, okay. Oh, I guess it's a replica. I thought it was the originals.
No.
I thought it was Sherlock Holmes' hat and pipe.
Yeah.
No,
I
okay.
I don't think so.
That's not as impressive.
Just replicas. So Green Arrow grabs up another arrow, fires it according to the instructions, and says it's a mechanical ear. So as it goes out, it will amplify whatever sounds it hears. And they pick up a particular alarm that is the alarm code for the state savings bank. So Arrow and Speedy take off.
Go ahead.
And they get there just in time to see the bad guys who have robbed the bank trying to get away. Green Arrow picks another one of the future arrows and hits the car with it. And it covers the car and the surrounding street and everything in ice, freezing it into place.
Did you notice what I noticed? What does the arrow look like that he hits the car with?
A thermometer.
Yeah, I just realized that.
Yeah. Not well colored, but...
You can tell what it is.
Yeah.
It's the old Mercury one. You know, used to love to let it bead in your hand.
I'm not supposed to do that.
What?
You're not supposed to do that. Mercury is poison.
Can you eat it?
No. Crap. I've done that too.
They don't have them anymore. They just have the alcohol ones.
Pour it on the table and you poke it, and it break off into a whole bunch of balls.
I've never been able to play with one.
Oh.
They don't make them anymore.
It's kind of cool. But mercury is poison.
Because mom said something like when you're handling it, it like seeps in your skin when you're going like that.
Oh, it can, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the bad guys hop out of the car. I'm not sure how the whole car was frozen over, but they hop out of the car.
Makeshift
and they're ready.
Oh,
maybe so.
Hairspray and a lighter.
They're ready for Green Arrow because the one guy reaches into a little belt pack that he's got on and pulls out this little capsule and throws it on the ground, and it bursts out into a big smoke screen. Well, Speedy and Green Arrow are already at it, and I'm not sure... No, this is another future arrow. Okay.
Yeah, that's all they're using right now.
So the Green Arrow fires another future arrow, and as it flies, it sucks up the smoke. Then Green Arrow grabs a hypnotic arrow. See, I think this is one of his.
Because the – what are the little feathers on the end?
Yeah.
They're the same as
all the
others.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the only reason.
So he gets ready to fire and instead drops it.
Mm.
And
conveniently,
the hypnotic lights go off, hypnotizing Green Arrow and Speedy.
I would dare say this is the first time that Green Arrow has ever dropped an arrow in his career.
Perhaps so.
And especially, it couldn't have just been a regular arrow. It had to be a hypnotic arrow.
But at least it was this and not an exploding arrow. That would have been
true.
Bad.
Yeah, so. At least they'll recover from this one.
Right. So they're stunned, hypnotized. The bad guys don't kill them.
And the first time in a while that they have pupils.
Yeah, you get close enough
to see pupils.
They actually
have eye line.
Didn't that make sense? If you're the bad guys and they're hypnotized, shoot them.
Yeah.
Kill them. Get rid of them.
Yes, make sure that they can't come back and
right.
keep you from robbing a bank.
No, they just take their special arrows.
We're going to take your arrows from you.
So they wake up and they realize that the bad guys have made off with all of their future arrows. So, yeah, good. That's the Jack Kirby Speedy point.
Oh, good times.
So over the next several days, the bad guys start using the arrows. They use an invisibility arrow to rob a bank. They use an anti-gravity arrow to get away from another bank robbery. they use a vibration arrow that shatters a brick wall and gives them access to a safe in another bank.
Who does nobody rob museums anymore for priceless art?
No, just money. That's all.
Criminals.
So
the '50s were not nice to them.
Well, they got smarter. They branched out.
Yes, better ideas.
Because everybody by now has taken all the money,
so all that's left is Mona Lisa.
Find something else to steal.
Some. Right? Random scribbles called abstract art.
So the chief is having a meeting because the situation, you know, these bank robbers keep hitting and they're not being stopped. They're not being caught. So they're having a meeting. They've got the Green Arrow with them, and the Green Arrow says, you know, look, this is my fault. They've got all these arrows, but here, I'll get them. I'll put a stop to this using just these plain, regular arrows. So he goes out and now...
Classics. Right?
Huh?
Classics?
Yeah, classic absolutely. It worked before. Now the bad guys have gotten so brazen, it's in broad daylight, and they're going to knock over an armored truck with some of these future arrows. So they grab one that's a paralysis arrow. They threaten the driver. He stops, and out of the back spring Green Arrow and Speedy. As the bad guy fires the paralysis arrow, Green Arrow fires one of the regular arrows, hits it head on, the two arrows explode. At the same time, Speedy fires an arrow that wraps him up in some kind of strip webbing, something like that.
That he calls. It's right there. He calls it his mummy arrow.
Oh, a mummy. Okay, yeah.
Because also the arrowhead looks like
for our mummy arrow,
sarcophagus. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah, you're right. It looks like a Tutankhamun head or something. Okay.
Because when I first read that, I thought it was just a regular arrow. And I'm like, well, I'll see how you're being artistic by making it have a nice design on it.
Why did you do that?
Yeah, but then I'll look down in the next frame and see that it's wrapping them up and it calls it his mummy arrow.
Mummy arrow, okay. Yeah, so he wraps up the bad guys. At that point... Green Arrow decides, okay, these future arrows are too dangerous. We're going to put them up and use them later.
In 18 years, they'll have three more of the world's deadliest arrows, in the other issue.
Yeah, so...
They'll try three in the next 18 years.
So that's that finished up Adventure Comics 251.
In your cliche, also, glass display... case that mm-hmm. they keep all their mementos in, like Superman's cape if they defeat Superman, or Al Capone's hat when they defeat him or something, you know, in their classic display case.
Yep, glass display case. All right, guys, next episode we have lined up World's Finest 96, Adventure Comics 252, and World's Finest 97. If you do want to drop us a line, give us some feedback, just don't cuss us out. That's not cool.
Please, not again.
You can send some email our way to earth1emeraldarcher@gmail.com, and that's the number one. We have a Facebook page, Emerald Archer. The web address is comicbooknoise.com/EmeraldArcher. You can leave comments there for each of the podcasts. You also leave comments on the Facebook page, of course. I don't know if you guys are on Facebook. You should go on Facebook and look around. I bet a lot of the other podcasts that you listen to probably have Facebook pages. I know a lot of the comic book podcasts do, like, Ronin Rabbit has a page. Mm-hmm. The Incredible, or the Mighty Thor cast
has a page
if you guys are into Thor. So definitely want to thank Mr. Steve Rogers. What, shameless plug? Is that what you're shaking your head about?
No, just some of your comments.
Oh, okay. Steve, thanks for the feedback. I hope everything is going good with your superhero career. I hope you're keeping the shield shined up there.
Okay, if that doesn't give it away, then people are just oblivious.
Mr. Derek Coward, the granddaddy of the Deliberate Noise / Comic Book Noise Network, want to thank Derek for hosting and behind-the-scenes help with the website and putting the podcast up and everything like that. If you guys do download Emerald Archer from iTunes, which we are
We're on iTunes.
Actually on as the Emerald Archer. You can do a search there. Leave us some feedback there, a review, because it helps other people find the show. The more reviews, kind of the higher it is ranked in just in a list, and that way it's easier for people to see, easier for them to find. And I guess that's about all I have to say. Nick, do you have anything on the way out here?
Not a thing.
No? All right. Thanks a lot, guys, for sticking around for episode 3. Hopefully we'll have episode 4 out for you here in a little bit. Hopefully this one will be posted in a little bit as well. We will talk to you guys next time. In the meantime, keep reading those comic books. We'll talk to you guys later.
Later, guys.
This is a Teal production.